1. Carries one of the most beautiful requests in the entire Bible, I think. We know next to nothing about the men who made this request, and we don't know what happened to them afterwards. But this request in John 12:21 really sits at the center of so much of who we are. Worship, discipleship, prayer, humility, gratitude, thanks. It has to do with questions about life and God and curiosity and heartfelt desire. John 12:21 reads, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." We would like to see Jesus. Here's a brief background. It was Passover time in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was jam-packed with people, not an empty room. There were lambs, year-old lambs, all over the city who were to be slaughtered for Passover. People had come from all over the entire region to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. There were also non-Jews. There were the Romans, of course, the Roman soldiers and Roman leaders. But there were others who were there too, Gentiles. Gentiles from places like North Africa, in Italy, in Greece. Jesus had come into Jerusalem just a few days before. And in that very familiar story we'll be going to next week, so forgive the rearranging of chronology here, the Palm Sunday story. He had come into town a few days before riding on a donkey, meaning not coming in aggressively, but coming in peace. And word had traveled all through Jerusalem and the area that Jesus, this iconoclastic rabbi from Nazareth, was coming into town. This one who healed diseases, even leprosy. This one who cast out demons, who taught with a new level of authority about God and Scripture and faith and hope. This one who had even raised a friend of his, Lazarus, from the dead just a few days before in the town of Bethany, just outside of town. He was coming into town. And word traveled. And when he came into town, people went wild. But the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees in particular, they were not so enamored with Jesus. In fact, they were watching him and confronting him with deadly intent. They wanted him removed from the mix, gone dead. So they plotted and they schemed, and they tried to tamp down enthusiasm among the crowds, but people kept rallying. And in the verse right before the text I'll read today, the increasingly frustrated and angry Pharisees said, "Ah, this is getting us nowhere. Look, the whole world is going after him." And that's a pivotal comment that we'll come back to later. It's a tipping point reality. So listen to the text here from John 12, 20 through 36. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival, meaning Passover time. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Those who love their life will lose it, while those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor those who serve me." About 7 or 8 years ago, I taped on the pulpit this request. We want to see Jesus. I taped it up here with the idea that anybody who came up to read Scripture or make an announcement or even to move this pulpit would notice it and be reminded. We want to see Jesus. Because that's critical. Isn't it? And all that it means, we want to see Jesus. Because without him as the center point for what we're doing, Without him as the primary object of our focus, without him being at the center of Sunday school and activities and worship, without him being the one we want to see and meet and encounter and be touched by, then what is all this anyway? But with him at the center, with him as the one we want to see, like these Greeks said to Philip, "Sir, we want to see Jesus," everything changes and everything goes deeper and broader in him. I remember a guy from years ago who would come to church occasionally, but he would come with an attitude. He was cocky, aloof, detached. Actually, there have been quite a few people in my years of ministry who've come in like that. None here today. This guy came in completely uninterested in God, Jesus, the church, anything to do with it. And as I would preach, it was so obvious where he was. He would look at me like, "This is so lame." He admitted to me that he only came to decrease conflict at home. He came because his wife and kids came and he wanted to try to be a good role model. But that was the only reason he came. But then by God's grace, he began to tune in a little bit more and a little bit more. And we got to know each other and he got to know other people. And then a couple of years later, he came on a men's retreat. And on the last night, he and I just happened to go out of the retreat center, out of separate doors, not knowing each other was going out there, to go for a late night walk down the road, and we ended up on the road together. And as we walked, he basically made the very same request that these Greeks did to Philip. "I want to see Jesus. I want to meet Jesus." And he did. Standing on a dirt road in the dark, all this junk began pouring out of him and all this joy began coming into him and he began to see Jesus in a whole new light. Seeing Jesus. There's a lot that hinges on that word seeing. That word in Greek can be translated a couple of different ways. One way is simply straight up and literal, visual perception. A couple years ago, when Sid and I were on the coast of California driving up the coast, we stopped at a state park, and as we walked through the park, looking up at these towering redwood trees, we looked at a trail coming out into the parking lot, and here came former President Jimmy Carter with a woman in a uniform and a dog. And we were like, "Is that really President Carter?" And we made eye contact with the woman in the uniform who clearly gave the signal, "Do not approach. Leave this man alone." And we did. But afterwards, we were like, "Wow, we just saw this man who's known around the world here in a park." That's one use of the word see. Of course. Another use of the word see is like when you go to your doctor. You go and you fill out forms and you wait and then finally they come and they say, "Dr. Blank will see you now." And what that is you don't just want to go in and look at the doctor. You go in and you interact. There's a problem that needs addressing or something that needs to be worked through. Some of you will ask me on a Sunday, "Can I come in and see you this week?" And I know you don't want to just come in and look at me. You want to come in and interact. There's something to talk about and pray about. That's a second use. And both of those uses could very well apply to this text. Maybe these Greek men really wanted to just have a peek at this famous iconoclastic rabbi to take a selfie and be off. Or maybe they wanted to run something by him. He had wisdom and he was so well known now. Maybe they wanted to talk with him. And both of those would fit. But there's a third use of that word see that opens up much more. And it ties into the much bigger story of Jesus. That third use has everything to do with experience and encounter, with coming to know someone or something on a whole new level, a very personal level. It's the very thing that happened with that guy in the men's retreat. He came to see Jesus in a whole new way. He'd heard about Jesus for years, but was uninterested, and now he began to see. It's seeing in the way that we sang about earlier. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. It's seeing in the way that we sang in Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Upon that cross of Jesus, my eyes at time can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And in seeing the way that we'll sing about in a few minutes, that powerful piece called My God. My God, full of mercy, heard our weeping, came to bring us home again. My God takes the broken and makes them whole. My God, touch the leper, raise the lame man. He causes the blind to see. My God takes the broken and makes them whole. That's what we're talking about. That's seeing in the way that fits with the whole story of Jesus. And it fits with these Greeks coming to Philip asking if they can see him. And how this ties into that larger story is that in John, in the Gospel of John, there are four earlier points in the Gospel where Jesus himself or John telling the story say his time to be glorified has not yet come. And to be glorified means the cross and death and resurrection, everything contained in that. The hour has not yet come. The hour has not yet come. Four times. But now, with these Greeks coming, reflecting the very thing that the Pharisees were complaining about, now the whole world is going after him. It's a tipping point. Jesus says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And here's how the rest of the text reads in the Message. Listen carefully, he says. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and produces itself many times over. In the same way, any one of you who holds on to life as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. In many ways, this is a foretaste. He's giving a foretaste of what would happen a month later at Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came sweeping in, just like he promised, the Holy Spirit filling lives with new life, with new spirit, with new confidence and energy, new reality about him. And who then went out like seeds in the world, planted in the ground, giving birth to more. This was a completely new way of seeing Jesus. And this is the very thing that continues to happen. It has continued to happen ever since then in the body of Christ, the church, around the world. Including in our life together in this body of Christ called Bloomington Covenant Church. Seeing Jesus, not visibly, physically seeing him, but being encountered, experiencing, knowing more and more of his actual reality in our lives. That's seeing. And then helping others to see him too, because it is not just for us to keep, not just for us to enjoy by ourselves, but to give away. It's what the Apostle Paul prayed in that amazing prayer from Ephesians 1. We used that text a few weeks ago, but it seemed timely to come back to it today. Where Paul prayed, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Only you and God really know where you are in this. Eyes opened to Jesus and all that means. looking for him, encountering him, inviting others to know him too, or not? And if your eyes are open to him, then you know there's more and more to see, more to be revealed, more to experience, more to be drawn into and to be, for our lives to be used in more and more ways. Admittedly, it is not always progressive, going up and up and up. There are a lot of setbacks. We sin, we fail, we walk away. But he is gracious and merciful. He takes the broken and makes them whole, like us. So, what's your heart desire? Do you long for more of him? I mean, really long for more of him and follow through on that longing? Are you making yourself available to him? Listening. Being quiet before him. Coming to him in prayer, in scripture, in worship with an intensity. Or are you more closed off? Truth be told. Or coasting, or you have memories of when he was alive and present like none other, but those are more memories than current reality. Only you and God know where you really are with this. So wherever you are on this spectrum, I want to invite you to take the words of these anonymous Greek men and personalize them into your own prayer. Jesus, I want to see you. I want to see you. Jesus, I want to be met by you in a fresh way. I want to encounter you. I want you to encounter me. Jesus, use me, as faulty as I am, to help others to see you too, to be like a seed that produces more and more, all by your power at work within me. Jesus, I want to see you. So whether you are 5 years old or 95 years old, whether you've been at this for decades or whether this is a brand new part of your life, whether you're totally on fire about Jesus or in reality you're kind of limp, ask him to open your eyes, to give you the eyes of your heart, to see him for who he is. And then follow his lead wherever he leads. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, there are so many things that catch your attention. The attention of our eyes, our minds, our hearts. I pray that you would refine our focus. That we would be looking for you. That you would move in our hearts and in our minds, in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, with our children, with our parents, in ways that are incomparable. And that we would be a people who help others to see you too, by the very way we live our lives, all by your grace. We pray this all in your name. Amen.